I want you to turn with me in your Bibles today to the Gospel according to John and chapter 3. I'm sure that almost everyone here has at one time or another in your life either read or have heard read the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, even since the days of your childhood. I am going to read today from the third chapter, beginning at verse 1. But I would first ask you to join me in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that we might learn the things that thou wouldst have us to know, things of time and things of eternity, things about life and things about death. Help us, we pray, by thy Spirit, to center our hearts and our minds upon these wonderful and blessed truths. And should there be those who have never trusted Christ, may they come to know him. For those who need to make that public profession of faith, may they come. Whatever the needs, may all of us find the answer and the supply as we anchor our faith in thee through the Lord Jesus Christ, as we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. John chapter 3. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, speaking of the fleshly, physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, the water birth, is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There have been many far-reaching conferences held in the history of mankind, but none, I dare say, more far-reaching and more significant and more meaningful than the conference that is written about here in my text in John chapter 3. I have read that during the Napoleonic Wars, the Emperor of Russia and the Emperor of France met in a little raft in the middle of a German river. And out of that conference between those two heads of state came declarations that not only affected the lives of millions, but literally and ultimately changed the map of Europe. Oh, I have good news for you today. On a housetop in Jerusalem, underneath a Palestinian moon that was shining brightly, two men once met. One was a Jewish peasant. His name was Jesus, the Son of God. One was a Jewish ruler. His name was Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees. And out of that conference from the housetop in Jerusalem has come an undeniable, clear-cut, indisputable, eternal truth that all men who are born just once must die twice. And that's my subject for you today. Born once, die twice. I want you to note three things with me. Simple, plain, the children can understand it. Listen to them. One, Nicodemus and his question. Two, Jesus and his answer. And three, you and your destiny. As I stand here before you today, the destiny of many people is in the balance. The things that I have read to you and the things that I'm going to say to you didn't come out of a magazine. They didn't come out of the newspaper. They didn't come out of psychology books. They didn't come out of philosophers' writings. They didn't come out of a psychiatrist's manual. They came out of the Word of the living God. And unworthy as I am in these moments, if I never shall be again, I am God's spokesman to you. And I have the weight of the message of God upon my heart. And I'll tell you this morning, I could hardly wait for 11 o'clock to come so I could give it to you. Once born, dying twice, but twice born, dying only once. This is the word of Almighty God. And I'm glad today that our faith is not in man, is not in money, is not in military might, but our faith is in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Jesus and Nicodemus talking together. What about Nicodemus and his question? Let's look first at the man Nicodemus. Incidentally, his name means conqueror of the people. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee, which meant that he was the strictest of law keepers. He believed the Old Testament, the writings of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms, because the Pharisees embraced the Old Testament as their book of religion. And one time Jesus said to them, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life," referring to the Old Testament Scriptures, "and they are they which testify of me. And you will not have me. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, an Orthodox Jew. He was a rabbi. He was a master himself. Nicodemus was a sincere religionist. And you know the world today is crowded, heavily populated with sincere religionists. But beloved, it is one thing to be religious. It is something altogether different to be saved by the power of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody you meet has some kind of religion. Come with me to Africa. The Hottentot has his religion. Come to India and China and the islands of the sea, and they're religious people. But religion never carried any man to heaven. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Yes, he was a sincere religionist. He was a respected ruler of the Jews. Quite an important character that came to Jesus by night and sat with him on the housetop in Jerusalem. And what was his question? You remember he said to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" The question that Nicodemus asked indicates two things to me. Number one, that Nicodemus had a sincere desire to be saved. And number two, Nicodemus was ignorant about the most important matters in life. He knew many things. He was an intellect. And if we classified him by the educational standards of today, we would say that he was a learned man, a man of letters, a man with many degrees. But beloved, Nicodemus lacked one degree, the B.A. degree, born again. For Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." You know, God has never given any man an examination and said to him, "If you pass this, you're going to heaven." For when God measures a man, he doesn't put the tape about his head. He puts it about his heart. For salvation is not a head matter. Salvation is a heart matter. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Draw nigh unto God with thy heart. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within the heart and defile the man. Every man living needs a heart job. You can go down the street and pat yourself on the back and say, "I live a good life and I pay my dues and I pay my bills and I give to benevolent causes. And I'm sure I'm going to be all right." I've news for you this morning. If you have never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have never trusted him as your Savior, if you have never said to him, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart," if you have never opened the door wide to let him in, you will not go to heaven, for Jesus said it, and I repeat it. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was smart, but Nicodemus did not know the meaning of the new birth. Nicodemus was blind, and he was so blind that he didn't know he was blind. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the god of this world," that is Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Nicodemus was ignorant. He was so ignorant that he did not know that he was ignorant of the most important thing in life. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." Nicodemus was dead, and he was dead to the fact that he was dead. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, "And you who were dead hath he quickened." Every man outside Christ is dead. Nicodemus was lost, but he was lost to his lost condition. He did not realize that he was lost. And Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man If he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Don't gamble with the only eternal thing you have. Your soul shall live forever. And though Nicodemus was religious, he was blind and ignorant and dead and lost. That's Nicodemus, and that's his question. Now, what about Jesus and his answer? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, Nicodemus, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that is, of the physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Look at Jesus for a moment. His name means Savior. At his birth, they declared it, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Look at Jesus in his power, in his prominence, in his position. He's the Son of God, God the Son. He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's the heavenly potentate. He's the bishop and shepherd of our souls. He's the commandant of heaven, possessor of heaven and earth. He's the generalissimo of all the nations of earth. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright and morning star, rose of Sharon, lily of the valley, bread of life. I'm talking to you about Jesus. And beloved, that which needs to sound forth from the pulpits of America today is not some new philosophical idea, is not some new psychological approach to the problems of the world, but the pulpit of this and every church must be a sounding board to propagate the gospel of the Son of God. Amen. Because philosophy cannot answer the questions of the 20th century. Psychology cannot solve the problems of the 20th century. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul said, "I am proud of his gospel, for it is the power of God, explosive of God, dynamic of God, dynamite of God, dynamo of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And that includes you, and that includes me. To everyone that does what? Believeth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'm talking to you about the Son of God, God in the flesh. What about his answer? Jesus said, "Except a man be born again." You see, there's a single door into heaven, not a double door. Observe that word "must." Jesus said, "Ye must." That doesn't leave any choice. Oh, you don't have to be saved. Don't misunderstand me. But if you're going to heaven, you've got to be saved. If a man enters into the kingdom of God, he must be born the second time. Once born means to die twice. Twice born means to die once. You may be a geologist and know all there is to know about the formation of the rocks of the earth, but if you don't know the rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. If you don't know the rock of ages, you'll never get to heaven. You may be a botanist. You may be able to classify all the plants of the globe. But if you don't know the rose of Sharon, you will never get to heaven. You may have tasted of the finest bread in the delicatessens all over the world, but unless you taste of the bread of life, you will never go to heaven. you may have seen and been to and treated by the greatest doctors in all the world, but if you don't know the great physician, you can't get into heaven. You may have taken a bath in the sweetest perfumes of Arabia, but unless you plunge yourself beneath that flood that washes whiter than snow, you will never go to heaven. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. You may have your name on all the deeds and documents in the world, but if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll never go to heaven. You may have your name on every church in this town, but unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of our great God. When Jesus answered Nicodemus's question, Jesus didn't say, you must be baptized. Jesus didn't say, you must join the church. Jesus didn't say, you must reform. Jesus didn't say, you must partake of the Lord's table. What if a king took a beggar into his house and fed him a sandwich from his table? Does that make him a member of the royal family? Not any more than you partaking of the holy cup and the sacred loaf will make you a member of God's royal, eternal, heavenly world and heavenly family. You can be baptized backward and forward, standing up, sitting down, lying down. You can partake of every cup and eat of every biscuit. But until you are born by the Holy Spirit, you are L-O-S-T, lost. Jesus said, you must be born again. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You've been born once, everybody, the physical birth, and you were born in sin. David said it, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Again, he says in Psalm 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Jesus had the answer, and I've got it for you today. You must be born again. Now, I've talked about Nicodemus, and I've talked about Jesus. For a moment or two, I want to talk about you. I want you to forget that there's anyone else here in this house. This message is for you. God knows you today. He knows your name, your house number, your telephone number, your payroll number, your zip code number, your social security number. God knows even how many hairs are on your head. God knows you. And beloved, God is speaking to you. And I hasten to tell you, God loves you. Oh, I know you might think that nobody loves me and nobody cares for me. Charles F. Weigel thought that once when he sat down and wrote the words to that wonderful song. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so strong and true. Jesus put his loving arms around me, taught me in the way I ought to do. I'm going to tell you this morning, if nobody else loves you, my Jesus does. And God loves you. If you had been the only, listen to me, if you had been the only sinner in the world, I believe Jesus Christ would have died for you. Jesus is preparing a place for you. You I'm talking to, you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Nobody in the house but you. You may have made all the accomplishments you want to make. You may bear all the titles that you'd like to bear. Or on the other hand, you may consider yourself as nothing. Let me tell you this. It matters not what you are, nor who you are. You must be born again. Elizabeth Fry, the great British reformer who did more for prisoners in England perhaps than any other woman, one day looked into the mirror and said to herself, Elizabeth Fry, you are all outside and nothing inside. I hold up to you today the mirror of God. As you and I look in this book, we must come to one conclusion. We are lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. And if we are saved, we are saved only by the marvelous grace of God, not of works, not the works of righteousness which that any man hath done, lest any should boast. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When you look into that mirror of God's word, little boy, little girl, mother, daddy, whoever you might be, there's nobody else here but you. When you look into that word, unsaved, unregenerate, never been born again, you must conclude you're nothing. You're just a worm. But the wonderful Heavenly Father loves you. He loves you all the more when you feel like you're nothing. Why don't you look in the mirror and see what you really are? Not in the preacher's sight, not in the neighbor's sight, but in God's sight. You must be like the publican who smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You and your destiny. The Bible doesn't talk about two destinies, heaven and hell. Heaven, the home of the redeemed. Hell, the home of the damned. Beloved, you may see 10,000 cities in your life, but you will never see the city of God unless you're born again. You may behold the faces of kings and queens, but you'll never see the darling face of Jesus Christ unless you're born again. Who will be in heaven? All those who have their name on the church roll? No. All of those that are baptized? No. All of those who partake of the Lord's Supper? No. John has the answer. I want you to listen to it. John said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And every man was judged out of the books according to his works. And I saw the sea give up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged out of the books, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Once born, twice dead. Twice born, once dead. John said it. This is the second death. Now listen to the last word that John wrote. And whosoever was not found written on the church roll, perished the thought. And whosoever was not found written in the local lodge, perished the thought. And whosoever was not written on the society page, perished the thought. And whosoever was not written upon Wall Street, perished the thought. Whosoever was not written in the schools of higher learning, perished the thought. Whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written there on that page bright and fair? Is your name written there? Let us stand for our prayer. Heavenly Father, how we do thank Thee today for the power of the gospel of Thy Son. How we do thank Thee for the new birth, having been born not of the will of flesh, nor of man, but of Thee. Heavenly Father, I pray in these moments, if there be men and women, young people, boys or girls, in this congregation today who have never been born again, may they step out by faith. May they put a foot in the aisle and the Holy Spirit lead them toward the front where we can show them how that they can be born again. Dear God, don't let one sinful, hell-bound, destiny-bound, dying soul go out of this house without Christ. And dear God, for those who have been saved but have never made a public confession of their faith, may they walk this aisle today and say so by doing that, I am Christ and He is mine. For those who need a church home, may they come today. For Christians who need a closer walk, a more prayerful life, may they come today. Whatever the needs are, may they come, as we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.